The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight!
Boom, shalaka lock, boom.
Columbia nil, Canada nil. Jesse Marsh and company unable to do what a Craig Forrest and company did back in 2000. And that is called Beat Columbia. Still got that record there, Craiger.
We're proud another clean sheet, though. Show.
Yeah, another clean sheet. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I mean, it's a bit of a weird one, this, right? Not the fact that we're actually recording after the match and we're all really tired. But it wasn't a great match. It was very CONMEBOL-y with refereeing, and I think 38 fouls were committed. I got that from my very own Jimmy Brennan.
I know, he said it a number of times.
It might not be right, is my point. But there were a lot of fouls. Not much rhythm. Columbia came really close late in the game. But, Craig, I thought Canada played pretty well in that game. Defensively organized, some good performances. Not much at the money end of the pitch, but overall against what is a really strong Colombian team, I think, as Jesse Marsh said, post-match, yeah, he's happy. It was a good performance.
Yeah, I think overall they would be happy with that. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest match. When Dubs brought it to my attention, there was 9 changes in the Colombian side from the team that thrashed Mexico 4-0. And overall, they scored 13 goals in the last 3 games going into this game. So they're always going to create a few chances. They gave Canada them a good look at the net 3 times in the second half. Normally, you would think they would put one of those away. A little bit lackluster up front for us, I thought, but the press worked quite well. And I thought Tejon was really lively, certainly early parts of the game. And some of the passing was crisp and sharp. And, you know, so overall, a 0-0 against a side that, you know, a lot of changes, but still a lot of quality. What do you think, Dubs?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think we wrote out the ebbs and flows of the game quite well. It was physical. Mm-hmm. I think we had 3 yellow cards. I think Stephen Caldwell mentioned on the call that Columbia was never booked, which seemed a wee bit odd to me. But I don't think that we were, you know, shafted or hard done by the officiating. Mm-hmm. I think that the call, the doubleheader with Promise flicking it on and then Jacob Schaffelberg coming back onside, looked to be onside from an offside position, and then you see the replay and I think he's clearly offside. You know, if you look at the heel of the other player, it's maybe closer than it actually is, but I think that's fine. But it was good to see Jonathan David, like Johnny on the spot as he normally is, to, you know, finish that, even though it gets called off. And I thought he had a stronger second half, John David, than he did in the first half. But I think that there were moments where we showed our quality. I think we showed what we were capable of doing. I think Tejon's strong in the first half. But I just think like the key players are game breakers, never had their strongest moments of the match concurrently. And I think that was maybe what we are lacking in that match. But I think overall, again, I think the way that, you know, Marsh spoke, the way that you just spoke for us, I think I would agree with you that despite changes, and maybe that's not necessarily their B squad, their B lineup, but certainly not the team that thrashed Mexico, as you mentioned. But I still think a strong performance by Canada, and one that we needed, I think, as a bounce back, as a rebound to, I think, what could be accurately described as a disappointing one versus Australia.
Mm-hmm. And as well as I think people forget, we don't really, when you're watching it on TV, you don't get that sense of what the atmosphere is in there. And it was a pro-Colombian atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So it was away from home. Mm-hmm. And you got to take that into account, that that's not what they're going to be having when they play in the World Cup. At least we don't think so when they're playing.
Yeah, Craigor, it's not even, I don't even think it's an not just an away game. It's a home game for Colombia, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounded great, I thought. It sounded like a real football match.
Yeah.
Like they brought it, right? I don't know how many Canadians are there. Someone made a comment, there's like 11 of them.
It was Cloak. He took a picture of Canada's starting 11. He was like, there might be more Canadians here, but it's hard to tell, but there are at least 11 in this picture.
Okay. Was that what it was? It was yeah. Cloak. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. No, but we don't travel well. We bring nothing to the table.
Well, some travel well. Lee Corman was there. Lee's mm-hmm. been a Canadian fan forever. He's been to more games than I'm pretty sure anyone else. And you always see Lee there in the stands at some point. He was holding the Canadian flag this time. He's such a big supporter. So, yeah, we don't travel in great numbers, but those that do travel do travel well. And when you're being deafened by 30,000 or 40,000 Colombians, what do you expect? But, yeah, I thought it was a decent performance. Dubs, you made a comment in the first half how you were really enjoying the press-resistant Canada. And I think that was talking about the composure of Luc de Vergerol in particular in that first half.
Yeah, Lukey Luke.
Yeah, Lukey Luke. He did look good, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. I mean, I think it was the occasion. So three big chances, I think Forrest alluded to it, that we provided. I think we fell asleep. We switched off a little bit prior to the stoppage time in the second half, where we left some seams. We left that pocket wide open. I thought defensively, no matter who was in the middle of the park, I thought Stephanie Stacchio was tremendous on the night. I think especially defensively, the ground cover, breaking up plays, the recoveries, winning possession back, and then starting the attack and like being that connecting piece, whether we were going in transition or we just regaining possession. I thought he was just masterful all night long. So I think it was actually when he was out and Chouinard had come in, and then maybe just a little bit of a miscue, or again, just like not as clued in, and then gave up that ball in the pocket and then like found the seam in the back line. And that's when de Fougerol maybe left. I think it was Bore's header that just missed on the far post, kind of a glancing header. And then Dane Sinclair was just actually rooted to his line, like didn't even kind of react to it. And that would have been in the back of the net, but kind of missed on it. But I think particularly, I think it was the beginning of the second half where that pressure is coming. First half, as you mentioned. And he's just, for a kid who doesn't have very much professional experience, did he just turn 20, I think?
Yeah.
So he's no longer a teenager, right? If I'm not mistaken. No, it was Ali who had the birthday.
Anyway. No, didn't they both? They both had a birthday, didn't they?
Okay. I don't know. A couple of people had birthdays. I might be misspeaking, but he's a young man, not very much professional experience under his belt. And just sometimes the experience, the composure, the wherewithal in games, and like the ice kind of in his veins is so impressive. The way that he can just like deke that pressure coming in, and then Canada showing composure themselves just to break that press. Press resistant. Mm-hmm. For sure. What do we say? Like linen?
Linen, yes. That's the name for the defense now. Linen. Right. See, you don't want to be ironing a linen shirt. That's the whole point there. I'm glad you mentioned Eustachio, though, because we were getting all excited and hot and bothered about the Saliba-Kone partnership against Australia. And it is exciting. There's no doubt there's potential there. But this kind of very quiet narrative that's beginning to form the last little while about, well, maybe there's a midfield that doesn't include Stephen Eustachio. I think it's absolutely
nonsense. You should stop saying that, Charms.
I know. I suppose I raised the question. I didn't say I agree with it. But it's nonsense, right? Assuming, I mean, I know he's not getting all the minutes he wants at Porto right now.
No minutes.
No, he's getting minutes. He's getting minutes. He's just not every week.
He's only started one game, I think.
He got a run tonight.
The Champions League is playing more, though, I believe.
He got a run tonight, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I just think we saw what he does and how he pulls the strings in that midfield and his combative nature and how he organized. He's the general there. He's the guy talking. He's the de facto captain out there. I said that for a long time. So, unless something goes really awry with this club form, I just don't see a scenario where he's not there. Now, you mentioned the last podcast, Dubs, about the potential of changing shape, changing formation to accommodate three midfielders, which is very popular choice amongst the Twitter sphere. I noticed before this match, who are really into this. You know, why not? And why not try it? Maybe that will allow you to push John David further up the pitch, because like Craig was saying, you know, he's not getting on the ball like he does. Well, say for Juventus, not so much this year, but traditionally speaking, he's getting the ball very deep. And maybe that's why his goal tally has gone down. It's, one open play goal in the last eight games, I think, for John David. He'll be just fine, I'm sure. But Do you think Jesse Marsh at this point will entertain a formation change? Or at this point, it's November next month. That's the next window. Then it's March, isn't it? And then we got World Cup, basically.
It's a bit late now,
isn't it, to start messing with your formation?
It is. But I think when you face different opponents, it's like the another thing that you see on the Twitter sphere is like the plan B, the plan X, the plan double Z, right? Like, well, where is it? Where are the tactical tweaks? But as I mentioned on the last podcast, I think any change or nuance to how they play is going to be via the personnel. And that's where you're going to see the adaptation. That's where you're going to see the slight tweaks. So I think that where we see John David right now, like, I mean, that is as good as, you know, we talked about Smudgeworthy and Sharpied. Like, he is Sharpied into that 11, but he's Sharpied into that 11 in that position. And any movement is going to be above him. And so if Canada can get on the ball more and sustain possession a little bit more in the attacking third, then you have the ability maybe to get John David a little bit higher up the pitch. But then at that point, you're also giving the opponent time to organize and to sit in their shape and to be more Australia-like than Colombia-like, where today I think we had some success going quick. And actually, John David with the ball on his foot, where he looked the brightest in the second half is when he took a quick scan, looked over his shoulder, and then peeled off inside instead of laying the ball off wide and then trying to get it back. But he kept the ball on his foot. Or you saw Kone do that. I mean, that's kind of like the DNA of his game, right? Like silky smooth hips, and he turns and he finds those gaps. But that's where I like John David there. But yeah, you need him to have more touches in the box where he is clinical.
Craig, do you think Tanny did anything to convince Jesse Marsh to dust off the Sharpie? Or is he still very much in that smudgeworthiness along with the promise and a
Yeah, maybe in that smudgeworthiness.
He is right. He didn't do that much. He had some moments, I think. So physicality, but didn't have that moment or two that would, I think, convince Jesse just yet.
Yeah, no, he didn't. But, I mean, one thing I like to see them, like, capitalize on, there was some good delivery in the box on set pieces, and they're not getting on the end of them, and I think they should because there's some terrific stuff. I mean, they could have actually had a penalty. Probably was during the World Cup with VAR. That would be a penalty, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the handball, but, yeah.
And Ali Ahmed was consistently putting in beautiful-looking balls. And so going back to not enough touches in the box, Dubs, great-looking balls in the box.
It really was.
That's why you're smiling. I'm like, what did I say?
That's what you said. You're
too late. I'm not even hearing myself. But yeah, with Ali tonight, though, I think that I wouldn't say he was off his game, but I think he had another strong, consistent performance where he's setting a standard for himself and he's meeting it. He's able to replicate it game after game. But it was particularly on the dead balls where I thought his service was sublime. But I think on the ball, he wasn't as sharp as we're used to seeing, whether it's with the White Caps or with our men's national team. There was something slightly off.
Well-traveled. Well-traveled and often played, right? The neighborhood bike, Ali Ahmed.
You just call Ali the village bicycle?
Well, I said neighborhood.
Okay.
Dejan was he was on fire there for a while, wasn't he?
First half in particular, dangerous, wasn't he? He was a force. He's so quick.
I'm glad he had that shot from distance as well, because I think there's one thing we don't try enough. I think that we have capable players to hit for balls from distance, and I think they should try that a little bit more often. If they're going to stand off you, have a go.
And what does that do, Craig? I was thinking about that because I noticed that, you know, I can't remember the last time there was a rocket like that that a player took. I think the last match was the Romania match, maybe when they were playing there. I don't remember. But what does that, it must open up the defense, right?
Well, when you're having, well, certainly open them up because they backed off them. They gained possession very quickly, if I remember right. How that sort of broke out, and then he has some space. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly how that happened, but I thought they did well pressing at that time.
Yeah,
that wasn't Tanny. Tanny won the ball. Remember,
he
shouldered the Colombian player off the ball.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was a great win.
Yeah. But if they're going to stand off you, the name behind you there, Thomas Muller, if you step on that guy, he's going to have a go from distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you're not creating too much inside the nine-yard box, you know, 60-yard box, nine-yard box, it's late.
18 even. Box.
18 even, yeah. But you're not creating much in there. Then you may as well start having a crack from out
well, distance. Can I throw something out here from JC here? When that long ball was smoked to the net, I was in a bar in Fort Erie, Ontario, where everyone was watching hockey or watching playoff baseball. When that happened, all the folks in the town were like, "Whoa, wowzers, trousers!" So that kind of hit is just—I'm
sure that's what they said too.
It's true, and because
for sure,
wears, it's that or coveralls. So
yeah,
it was a big hit.
I wish we had the camera. You know, oftentimes you get a shot from distance that tests the goalkeeper, or it knuckles, or it swerves. It does something spectacular. Mm-hmm. We saw a couple of looks at it after the fact, but we didn't get the one kind of in behind. You know, sometimes they have that cam mm-hmm. that swoops in. I guess we didn't have that at old Red Bull Arena, but Sports Illustrated rigmarole, whatever it's called now. But I wish we could
it's
have
called seen rigmarole. It. That's what it's called.
It is, yes. Because it looked like it fooled Montero. And I don't think he was dressing it up, Forrest. I think he really was confused or kind of put off by the shot where he kind of went, thought it was going the one way. And then it looked maybe more spectacular than it had to be because he was fooled by it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah, it was a ball flight. That's one thing. If you can hit a ball like that, I mean, Frank Lampard was a great example. Somebody could hit a ball with movement, and he very rarely put one over the bar because all of his strikes were, you would usually come up a couple feet and then dip late. And that's what Tejon hit it just beautifully. They play with the World Cup ball, did they not?
Yeah, they were. That's what I was going to say. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is interesting because that ball is designed to move around. And yeah, you're right though. I was waiting for a replay from behind the net to see exactly what it did, whether it swerved around, but it's hard to pick up the flight sometimes. Like you could hit it from 40 yards, and if the ball is moving around, you really don't pick up the flight until the ball is inside the 18-yard box, even if it's hit that far. That's why it's so tricky because it's like, oh, like you're trying to wait for the ball to decide on which way it's going to go.
Thought Nico Segura redeemed himself after the mistake mm-hmm. that cost him against Australia, especially in that opening 50, 60 minutes against Luis Diaz. But he was outstanding. I mean, Diaz, Lucho, love this guy. My mm-hmm. God, Dubs, come on. Wow. What a player. What a player. And he had his moments. He probably should have scored, actually, in that second half. Mm. Just wide. I mean, that's unlike him. But overall, Segura had him and played very well defensively in that right-back spot.
Yep, he did. And I think it does speak to, I think, Jesse Marsh and the confidence that he imbues into these guys, like overall, whether you're a starter or you're a finisher, that if you come onto the pitch and you're doing your job, you're doing things right, everything won't always come off. And if you're pushing hard and you're playing the system and you're playing the game the way that he wants you to, that you're going to leave yourself potentially vulnerable. And so, I mean, I don't think the mistake that he made versus Australia was that. But he goes right back with him, and Seager is up to the challenge, and that played very, very well. And mm-hmm. I think also to go back to Luc de Fougerolles, like to put both of them in that back line, and both of them I think gave very, very good account of themselves.
Neither of those guys could have got served while they're in Newark. That's how crazy it is. That's how young they are.
Well, actually, we've got some quotes here from Jesse Marsh. Our boy there, Charlie O'Connor Clark of CPL. He's on Twitter. We're starting to look more like a complete team. We're looking more like an experienced team. The leaders are looking more and more like leaders. The young players are developing where they look like regular players.
Good point. Yeah.
That's they the don't truth. Stand out as being young kids, right? They stand out as being actually one goes
for season. And if we're not playing overly well, we're just kind of some sort of resiliency to us, you know?
Yeah,
which we used to always we'd cough a couple of plays or something. So
yeah,
that's always. By the way,
hey Craig, so James Rodriguez has been dining out in 2014 for 11 years now, hasn't he? Right, and don't get me wrong, he was brilliant. He's had his moments since, I know, but he never really reached the heights we thought he would when we saw him first break through the barrier in 2014 for Colombia when he was unbelievable in that World Cup. And now you hear him talked about in game broadcasts. Watch out. Here he comes. It's like, this guy isn't Leo Messi. Everyone just settle down a little bit.
I think you should settle down.
You see, it's one of those guys you're like, oh, every 4 years, like, I remember him.
Yeah. Like, it's make it at Real Madrid. He had a good career, but we're always going to base his career on what he did in 2014. And that was something very special.
He's been Charms, can you calm down? Can you just calm down?
But that's one of my favorite snacks, though. One of my favorite snacks out on the pitch today, that combo. Portilla and hummus. So good.
That's what you had the last time we were out.
It's one of my favorites. That's right. I know. It's the only you guys ended up eating. Yeah, basically.
That's the vegan. That's the menu. Yeah,
that's it. It's just like, it's what's in the fortune cookie. That's what's available to me. Here you go. I'll have that, please. Yeah. Forrest, I wanted to bring up, because I was talking about Richie on the dark web. Like, we're just like, oh my God, like that early yellow, which he didn't deserve. He accidentally clips the guy's heels, but then he could have potentially been sent off. And then like Bassong comes in, but he doesn't take off Richie. Right? Richie just swaps over to the other side of the pitch and just like, Richie just keeps on going. And so I think that's something that is like a microcosm of the entire team, where you're seeing the growth with the young players, you're seeing the steely kind of veteran leadership of the mainstays on the team. It's because it's the mental performance as well, right? So I think that's Richie, but I wanted to bring him up because you said like back in the day, he would have been sent off for that, VAR or not.
Yeah, you know what? And I think he would be sent off in the World Cup too, because they look at that and he lashed out. Like, wasn't much, but it was a little bit of a lash out. And you're already on a yellow. They're not going to say, oh, well, you didn't deserve that. Like, you know, he'd be off. So he's got to, you know, as much as I'm a massive fan, and I said he's usually gets the best of whoever he's playing against. That was the first time I've seen for a while that I'm like, yeah, that's –
Well, it was also another Richie. It was another shit disturber, right?
Yeah. Forget the guy's name. Who was it again? Yeah. Rios. Scumbag.
Rios, yeah.
What a scumbag. Yeah. He was on the ground running there for 2 minutes. He barely got touched by Richie's.
I think he scraped himself with his own nail. It looked like he was digging into his shit.
And then the next moment, he's forearming Estadio to the ground.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. I tell you what, you live by the sword, you die by it, right?
Like, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that was frustrating. But yeah, Richie, he walks that line, doesn't he?
He does.
People, I mean, it's funny. It seems that people are very divided on Richie right now. I'm seeing I think probably the TFC side of things love him and he's undroppable. And the other half are like, no, this guy could be a problem, you know, in an intense match. I think that's when he gets at his best personally in an intense match. But like we discussed in the last podcast, and we won't do it now because, you know, we discussed it in depth, I think, on Monday's podcast. Check it out if you haven't heard it. I think we are in agreement that once Fonzie's back, he's playing left back and Richie's on the bench. That's what, anyway.
But hugely important because Marsh makes the decision to take Segura out. Bassong gets inserted. Richie flips over to the other side of the pitch and he makes that really critical intervention, that tackle that just throws off the shooter or like the way that the sequence is building. And then Dane gets a piece of that shot right at the death, basically, right? Where they got those three big chances like towards the end of the game.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing Dane into the question there, Dubs, because, you know, Craig, I don't think Max did anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong, really, against Australia. One ugly goal, which, okay, was he loud enough to communicate? Okay. But Dane made a couple of big saves in this match. And if you're looking at the battle between those two right now, I think Dane probably had a better window than Max, given especially that last save at the game-saving save.
It's tough. Both of them perform well, and they were always going to switch up these games. They're always going to get a game each. So I think that Dane's in front of him because I think I think Jesse likes his profile. Mm-hmm. But it's neck and neck.
Well, the 11 today, Craig, the 11 today.
And I wouldn't mind either one of them. I think everybody would agree on that. We like them all. We like them both.
Craig, the 11 today was probably closer to what we're going to see next June
than the Australia game. Is it fair to say? Outside of, you know, right, okay, well, defensively, obviously, with the injuries.
Fonzie, Alistair, who else?
Moyes.
So, and Moyes.
Moyes, Bumbido, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then
on top, if I think right now Tanny probably has a slight edge, but that's still a real battle, I think, to play alongside.
Yeah, I would say so. I think Stachy, you're right.
He's starting there, not Saliba. At this point, Ali's in there again, lock and change.
Yeah.
Ali's, let's talk about Max. So Max is a free agent coming up, and there's been talk about a move to Europe, both him and Dane.
He's a free agent at the end of this year?
Yeah, I didn't realize it either. So interview was in The Athletic. It may have been one of Josh's. I forget where I saw it now.
We should call Max and get him on the show and ask him.
Yeah. I mean, he brings up how Minnesota didn't really rate him. Sorry, Portland. Sorry. Haven't really rated him so much. And that's why he's not playing there. But a move elsewhere to start next season can get him minutes. And it can. This is why this battle's not over. Right? Simple
as that. Yeah, that's true. Where does he end up, you know?
Like, and if Dane goes to Europe, he's not necessarily the star either, is it?
Right.
So
depends where he goes.
Yeah, making $5 million sitting on the bench, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not quite there yet. He's pretty
yeah.
I don't know. All right. Anything else you want to get to?
Yeah. I wanted to just say I was a little disappointed not to see Oso out there just because he's Colombian and his family's Colombian. Also, I was verbally assaulted by a person who a homeless person today, and they were throwing some bad words at me, which was things happen. But he yelled at me, threatened my life. He said, "I will." He was really far away, but I didn't realize he was talking to me, and he was yelling at a rat. And he goes, "You effing rat!" And he was talking to the rat, and then he goes, "And you don't turn around and look at me, or I'll cut your neck off." And he's yelling at me. And then he goes, "You fat fuck."
Oh, that's offensive.
And that's where you drew the line.
Yeah, I drew the line on that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I've lost 25 pounds.
Me. You can threaten me. You can do anything. He literally fat shamed me, this vagrant.
That's the motivation you need, Dana.
I was humbled.
The truth hurts. You
have to experience that, Dan.
Truth hurts. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you fat fuck.
Listen, you're not a fat fuck.
Go ahead. No.
You might be a fuck, a lot of weight. You're not fat.
Yeah, no. Thank you, JC.
Sharms, the other thing I wanted to add that I don't think we have talked about, but it was in Cloak's article that was earlier this morning, was about the potential inclusion of Alfie Jones in a November window.
Yeah. Middlesbrough defender, right?
Yeah.
You put it up too, Sharms.
Did I? I can't remember. It's a long time
you
ago.
You said not worrying about our defensive. You said something like that on the dark
web. Our depth.
Oh, the depth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's highly rated in the league championship and would fit in very well, I would think, in that little battle for center backs for sure.
And he was just on Broadway doing the Broadway show Oliver.
Yeah, he's a multi-talented guy. He's a thespian and a center back.
bit of a fat fuck, I've heard though.
That's right. Oh god, let's end it now. I'm really tired.
All right,
bed. It's so rare that we actually gather this late at night without being intoxicated.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
Well, we used to do shows like this. Yeah,
we used to do it, and we used to all be beer in hand.
We did.
So I made it so that I at least had enough beers for all of us.
Oh, well done. And JC, didn't you like freeze frame where you took like a picture of Jimmy on TSN and it looked like he was two-handing? He was
strangling somebody.
It wasn't the vag hands, but it was like he was.
The vag hands evolved into
big, thick
murderer hands.
Hey, England qualified.
They did. England's going to be at the World Cup. Boy, man, they haven't considered a goal yet in qualifying. Pretty decent.
Seen that game,
two goals.
South Africa, Cap Verde, smallest country ever. Yeah. 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll bring a lot to the tournament.
Green. They're a bit green.
They did. Yeah. Someone did say write that China, Pakistan, and India and Indonesia, four of the biggest countries in the world, didn't qualify. So it's more than half the world with those four populations.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Crazy. We'll have Humi on, right? To talk about why.
Because we're playing our South Asian numbers once again.
That's right.
The best numbers ever.
They are the best numbers ever. Humi's like, oh, let me guess, guys. You're going to tap into India again, aren't you? Yeah, we are. Yeah.
We should do a cricket show.
we should do a cricket show. I'd love that. I actually did a podcast, cricket podcast, with my friends.
You did. It still lives.
It does live somewhere. Yeah.
Somewhere.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. All right, listen. No, let's end it now because we never will otherwise. We're back later this week, and let us know your thoughts on what you just witnessed in New Jersey, and we'll get back to that. And maybe we'll do the Dubs. The idea we keep forgetting about, the Sharpie smudgy idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
And also Fringeworthy. Which we haven't revisited.
Yes.
This is the first time we did it 3 weeks ago. Great idea, Dubs.
Hey, maybe we should do a Minge-worthy one. I got a lot of OnlyFans fans.
Me and the guy who yelled at me are Minge-worthy.
All right, bye. See you tomorrow or next time.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Biggie.
See you guys in the morning. I'm just going to write I'll just write everything and send it over to you, JC, and I'll edit right away.
All right.